Thank you. You are Jehovah Jireh, and we give you all the glory. All right, now I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, and my message is called The Best Is Yet to Come. I don't know how many people realize this, but a lot of the news that comes from the world is bad news. It's scary, and it's meant to be that way to get your attention. And we get all the people that are on drugs on the front page, and all of this stuff goes in a continual way. Those things are facts, and they happen. That's facts. But the truth is that God has given us power, and He, as we sang this morning, He has triumphed over the world. Now, the sooner we get hold of that and get really full of joy about the life we have to live, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And we are here to tell the world what they could be having. You know, I witnessed a wonderful miracle last week when I was ministering in Greenville, North Carolina. I ministered there on Thursday, and Sunday morning. And being a black church, they always do nice things for you, and they gave me Saturday off. That is so unusual for that to happen. And that was really wonderful. But on Friday night, I said to the people, "I feel that I'm to pray for you tonight for healing." And maybe a dozen or 15 people came forward. I was really not aware that anything particular happened, but I bound a few things and cursed the root of some things and said some specific things and just released my faith and asked them to do likewise, release their faith with me. And on Sunday morning when I was in the pastor's office before the service started, a woman came in. She was in her 20s, I think, and she was laughing and crying at the same time. And she said in that service on Friday evening that she had been instantly healed of fibromyalgia. She had it in her legs, all through her body, and even in her head. And she was so miserable, and life had become such a burden and such a trial. And she said that Friday, as she walked out of the meeting, she was aware that all the pain had left. Saturday morning, there was absolutely no pain, so she did all the work in her yard that she'd been wanting to do. Sunday morning, she got up and she still felt absolutely wonderful. So she gave a testimony to the church that was more like an exhortation than a small preach. And then after she did that, they invited the others who had been prayed for that night that received healing in their body to give testimony, and several other people. It seemed like the biggest part of those who came forward gave testimony to healing. Now, I'm going to tell you why I started with this story. Because I believe a new day. I believe a new day. I believe a new day has come to us because we are living in the last days, which started on the day of Pentecost. And I shared with you the last time I preached about fabulous ministries like Dowie and McPherson and Wigglesworth and these, where Sunday after Sunday, all kinds of miracles were done. In McPherson's church, four rows of people, might be completely healed. The Lord didn't do that for a little season and said, "Now that was fun, let's go on to being boring." And He didn't take that away from the church because He brought it again very largely in the great healing revival in the 50s, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, and all of these people. And now because so many of those great people have died in the last 3 or 4 years, the cycle as we watch it of church history shows us that now He's going to raise up others. Only this time it just could be the whole church. It might not be great individuals this time. It could be that He's going to raise up people in His house because it is time for healing to draw people into His presence. That's what He uses healing for. Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." He said this to people who were arguing about, should I eat this and can I do this and that and the other. And he said, well, you know, would you just hold on a minute? The kingdom of God is not in all of those little do's and don'ts. It's in righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but all that sounds very positive to me. Jesus came to preach and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is. I've come to preach it. He said, I have been anointed for this purpose, to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the year of acceptance of the Lord. In other words, not to preach condemnation. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that through me the world might be saved. I mean, we're still living in the acceptable year when the Lord has told us that we are accepted in the Beloved. And while he was still saying that, then he says in verse 21 of Luke 4, and he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, Jesus said, Isaiah 40 said this. I'm telling you this. Jesus didn't say that. Isaiah 40 said this. He's quoting Isaiah 40. What Jesus said was, this is the fulfillment of that. Just as Peter stood and said in Acts 2, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. When you get into the last days, then the Old Testament prophecies looking toward the days ahead began to be fulfilled. And Jesus said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now, the last days began after Jesus ascended into heaven and will continue into what the Bible calls the last day. This, the last days go on until a final time when Jesus returns, called the last day. And it's important to know that many prophecies tell about the last days and what's going to be happening anywhere between the time Jesus rose, went to heaven, and till the time he returns. These are called the last days. They continue until the very last day. Peter says that Isaiah 40 tells us about Pentecost and what will begin to happen. Excuse me. Peter tells us in preaching on the day of Pentecost what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he did that on the day of Pentecost. All right. Point I wanted to get across. There are numerous scriptures that have been interpreted as referring to the millennial reign of Christ, which begins after he returns to the earth and lasts for 1,000 years. And the saints will reign with him. Say, we will reign with him on the earth during these years. There are numerous scripture that tells us about the things that are going to be happening in the last days. There are two scriptures that refer to the millennium. One's in the book of Daniel, one's in the book of Revelation. But there's about 9 or 10 scriptures that talk about the last days. And you need to understand there's a difference between the last days and the millennial reign. If you don't understand there's a difference, then you're going to wait for the millennium for everything to happen. But Jesus said, no, things are going to be happening that are wonderful in the last days. Then when I return, you will have had opportunity to learn about reigning in life, and you can just step right on in and begin to reign with me. Because, you know, there's a scripture that we haven't really taken literally in Romans 5:17 that says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. We shall reign in life. Say, we shall reign in life. But not because you want to, and not because you think you should, and not because you say certain faith words, but you will reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus gives his purpose, the purpose for his anointing, healing brokenhearted, opening blind eyes, deliverance to the captives, and setting at liberty those that are bruised. I turned back to Isaiah 35, and I saw a picture of what Jesus came to do. And then he said, I want you to do the same things that I've been doing. Now, Jesus, once Jesus came, he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. So what he's now saying is, once Jesus has come, we can start expecting these last days things. And they have happened in the ministries that I shared with you about a couple of Sundays ago. You may not be seeing it, you may not have seen it a lot in the years you've been a Christian because you were in churches that did not have understanding about that. But living in these last days, the Lord wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And He said He's going to give prophecies, He's going to give visions, He's going to give dreams. People are going to move into a different supernatural realm. And that scripture in Isaiah 35 now that describes more of the last days. By the way, this is Isaiah 35 when Jesus spoke about why he had come in Luke 4. He was quoting Isaiah 40. So I want you to see this chapter is five chapters before Jesus said, now this has been fulfilled. So some of the wonderful scriptures that are in the Old Testament, people automatically say, oh, that's during the millennium. They really are last days scriptures. There's no scripture that says that they belong in the millennium. That's just what Schofield, which has been mentioned today, and some of these other people have cataract, but they're dispensationalists. And we believe that God can do things when He wants to. He's not locked down to how we figured out plans. This has to happen here, there, and everywhere. We are free for the Word of God to be fulfilled. And we saw that people have created some of their own bondages and lack of life and lack of power by thinking something can happen now. It can't happen that way now. But they don't really have the reason to say that. It's just what has been taught and what people got accustomed to believing. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't do things more at certain times than He does others. Obviously, He does. He didn't pour out the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. There was a time that He was going to do that. But this scripture, Isaiah 35, verse 3 through 6, says, strengthen ye the feeble hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful hearted, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God, with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, this is what Jesus reiterated, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now the Lord has simply said to us, this is my ministry. This is what I'm going to be doing. Then I'm going to pray for people and ordain them, and they're going to go out and continue the things that I have begun. And He gives us here a picture of what is going to be happening in these last days. But the point is that He said, we are to reign in this life in Christ Jesus. Reign in this life, that means now. It meant now when the book of Romans was written. We reign in this life now. How many of you would say I get an A+ on reigning in this life? Not a whole lot. But did you know that we live in the day where He has given us power and authority to reign, to be victorious, because of this wonderful song that we sang in the worship time today? He has already won out over all the powers of the enemy, and God does always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. The scripture says we are more than conquerors. I'll tell you why we haven't had more victory. We haven't had enough preaching that victory is our portion. And sometimes people are putting it off to some other day, but I'll tell you, these are the last days. And these are the days that we need the power of God and that we're going to accomplish His will. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, making manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That is a tremendous statement. We may have some battles, but we always triumph. The righteous may fall 7 times, but they always get up. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. And while you're going through a thing, He knows exactly how it's going to end up. And He's going to give you the grace and the power to sustain you. I think that a part of having the next flow and move of healing and miracles is going to be for us to have a mentality and an attitude. We expect it. We expect it. We not only need it, we want it. We desire it. We're looking for breakthrough, and we believe that the time is now. You notice that I was in that situation there in Greenville. I was just as astonished as, I don't know, maybe they were. I don't know if they were astonished, because they just acted like they expected to be healed. But I was rather amazed at how God did that. It reminded me of what Bill Johnson said in a message once. He said that he was called from a church that was in revival to a church that wanted revival. Would they come and bring that same revival to that church? So they went to that new church, about 700 people, so it was larger than the church that he was in. And they were there maybe a few weeks, but then on a certain Sunday, as they were praying, the Spirit of God broke through on one woman, touched her mightily and supernaturally, and they looked at each other and said, "He's here." And they knew, because He had touched that one person in that way, supernaturally, that now this is what He wants to do, and He's demonstrating it by touching this person. The door is open. The gate is open. The Lord opens doors that no man can close. So I just said to the Lord, "Well, Lord, I will just take this healing of this woman from this miserable, terrible disease." She was laughing and crying. She was nearly beside herself with joy. And the Lord simply did that. And I said, "Lord, I'll take that supernatural, tangible miracle as You are now opening up the way for miracles of healing of this nature. The difficult things, things of long-standing, chronic illnesses, things that people have almost given up on, things that are not usually healed. But Lord, we say, open that door. Let this be the time. Let now be the time." He's going to come to a people that believe Him. Everything that we have, we get by faith. And these people had been praying. It was a month of prayer. And so they had been praying 2 weeks when I got there, every night, and then also on Saturday. They had been praying and seeking God, so there was a wonderful atmosphere. And the way had been provided. You know, I was told about William Branham by a man, a pastor, who went to his home because he had heard that there was this man that had a word of knowledge that was fantastic, and people were being healed of all kinds of diseases. And he said he found out where he lived. This is just when his ministry began. And he got to his house, and he said, cars were everywhere. They were parked out in the field across the street from his house. They were parked in the yard. And people had found out about him. And they were just going to his house. And William Branham was a very humble man. So he was just wearing himself out, praying for all of these people. Because he had this gift, and it was just coming. And people were getting healed one after another. And he said, "I saw these healings take place one by one. It seemed that everybody he prayed for was healed." And he said, "I wept until the whole front of my shirt was wet. Because I was so amazed that God had broken through and was doing that." And he said that people started coming to this man's house, and they were saying, as they thronged his house, "The millennium has come." And they were saying, "We found out the kingdom is right here in Indiana, where we live. The kingdom is Indiana. The millennium has come." You know what they were saying? "Hey, we got some of the last day scripture happening before we thought they would." And tons of that have happened since the turn of the century. Since 1900, there's been all kinds of wonderful healing and miraculous move. God wants to do it now. So the last three verses there in Isaiah 35, I want to mention to you verses 8 through 10. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Now, I think that this opens up and shows to us how we're going to get to this wonderful place where the lame man is going to leap like a hart, and the blind man's his eyes are going to be opened. The deaf ears are going to be unstopped. The desert is going to bloom like a rose. The feeble hands that hang down are being lifted up. The weak knees are being strengthened. How is that going to come about? Well, there's a highway. It's called the highway of holiness. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. What this says is there's going to be a highway of holiness. There's going to be a way that God's going to show. And it's going to be so clear that even a fool can't miss it. I believe the more that God moves by His Spirit, the more He brings healing and miracles, the more it's going to be obvious to people, hey, I believe God loves us. You know what? I believe God does miracles. You know what? I believe the Holy Spirit is here for today. Even though they are fools, they're going to get it. That's what the Scripture says. No lion shall be there. I'm talking about it's going to be so much of the presence of God, there's not going to be the flesh roaring around or the devil trying to drive away the goodness, the good things that God's doing. Nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been excitedly looking for a day. I think my last message, or one before that, was called Heaven on Earth, Bringing Heaven to Earth, Bringing Heaven to Earth. And I showed you in the Scripture that as we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, that God doesn't want to just make our lives a little bit better. He wants to bring us up into a supernatural realm where we touch heaven, we touch miracles, we touch the reality of the power of the Holy Ghost. We work with angels. And He says, when this happens, they're going to obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Won't you be glad in that day? And you're having conversation with people and they won't say, what's this whole world coming to? The world is always going to have problems and be negatives. It's always going to be difficulty. But the answer to it is not worrying and complaining about it. The answer to it is getting up in the heavenlies and bringing heaven to earth. A real God-sent revival will change the community. It will change the nation. In Evan Roberts' revival in 1904 in Wales, one-third of the country, 100,000 people, gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. And they're recorded. You can find pages. I've read it in history books. Their names are all written there. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a whole change in mentality and attitude all around us. No more sorrow and sighing and sadness. Why wouldn't we rise up? If the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, let's get a hold of that joy. Let's walk in the peace that passes understanding. Let's walk in that robe of righteousness with the confidence that I can ask God to do things for me. And because I'm righteous in Him, anything I ask, He will do for me. The best is yet to come, because we're in the last days. And there's going to be great changes, good ones. We've never heard of mission work being done before like Heidi Baker's doing it right now. Have you ever heard of it? I've never heard of. Basically, they've captured the nation of Mozambique. Even the Muslims there on their radio program say that they have, in North Mozambique, they have surrendered and given up to the Christians because they cannot compete with healing blind eyes and raising the dead. I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of missionaries that their modus operandi is revival. I've never heard of missionaries that plan to get people to come to meetings by healing everybody that's deaf. God gave that gift for that revival. I believe He's going to show us new ways to get people in. Recent message by Jensen Franklin. He was making reference to a situation that happened in Australia recently where a whole bunch of fish, perch, just suddenly it started raining fish in this place in Australia. Now, the weather people think that it was a water spout that picked it up and it got into some cold regions because some of the fish were frozen and some were still alive. And I think it was 500 miles to the ocean where these would have come from, wherever they came from. And he made the statement, the Lord can rain fish for you, you know. And he made this application that in these last days, the Lord can just rain the fish into the sanctuary. He can just rain the fish. I mean, he can just bring fish where you never thought he was going to bring them from. Now listen, I for one believe that the Holy Ghost is going to do a different work in this day to bring in the harvest. And there's going to be a different power once the harvest comes. People are going to really get something when they come in the house of the Lord. And people are going to hear supernatural. Angels will go and invite them. All kinds of things we haven't seen happen before. You're not going to work yourself to death. You're going to give yourself to prayer and to worship. And then God is going to open the heaven and do the work that only He can do. Hallelujah. We've entered a new day of heaven invading earth. There's a highway of holiness where we can walk protected from the enemy's ploys. It's hard to get where you're going with the enemy always niggling at you. We need to get on that highway where we're not distracted by the enemy. Where the lion doesn't come in to roar and devour. You won't have to put up with him roaring. Most of the time the devil's just roaring. And there's really not much he's going to do. But if you let him distract you, then you're not going to be free to be those victors and overcomers to reign in life. How are you going to reign in life when you're distracted by the lies of the enemy? Lions and beasts will not be there. Even fools will be able to find the way if they get on the highway. An everlasting joy will be upon their heads. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. You ever be around people, they're just so sorrowful. They're just so always sighing about woulda, coulda, shoulda. If this would just happen, if that just hadn't happened, if I hadn't been there, if they didn't go there, if I hadn't married him, if we hadn't had children, if we had had children. Sorrow and sighing. Aren't you going to be glad? When you have conversations with people, it's not going to be sighing. Oh, the weatherman said. But you can't trust him. He's always wrong. I got news from you. I tell you, I think the weatherman is extremely accurate. Now, just you heard it first here. They have new equipment, and I'm just amazed. I travel a lot, and I check the weather, and they don't miss it much at all. I pack my bags according to what they say. Let's quit complaining about the weatherman and 100 other things that we've been sighing and sorrowing about. You know why? We've just been a sighing and sorrowing people. That's our nation, and we entertain ourselves because we're so sad. We're looking for something to amuse us. Well, I'm not. I have the joy of the Holy Ghost, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, I want to say this, and I want to close here, but here's what I want to do. I want to give us some instructions from the Scripture of how we can position and prepare ourselves to have a fish rain or whatever it is God wants to do for us. They were perch too. Those are good to eat. In Acts 2, the Scripture describes what a church looks like that's like the Isaiah 35 experience. This is what it looks like when you bring it into your church. Same thing. All last day stuff. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. I said to John the other day, we were driving someplace, and I said, what I like about a church like ours is that you know each other and you're involved in each other's lives, and you get with each other, you worship together, you go to prayer meetings together, you get to know each other through that fellowship of prayer. And we live our lives together. I'm talking really, not socially and not on Facebook. Now, and you can get something out of Facebook, fine. But I'm telling you, there's more to life than looking at pictures and reading sound bites. The Lord's got something a million times deeper than all the ways the world tries to do their social interaction. It's called the Holy Ghost. And He brings us together and sets the members in the body as it pleased Him. Okay, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily, with one accord, everybody say one accord, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. No sighing, no sorrow. Gladness, singleness of heart. Good old RPJ, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And praising God and having favor with all the people. You know, when Amy McPherson had her church, you know why she had favor with all people out there in California? For one thing, the Lord told her to be in California, where they just go along with anything. That helped a whole lot. They'll even go along with religion if it seems to suit their cause for whatever purpose. But when the war came, she raised hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bonds to help the war effort. And she gave more during the Depression to people that were hungry and needy than the government of Los Angeles did. Therefore, they had favor with all the people. The Lord will make us such blessers that we'll come into the place where we can have favor with. If you just do religious things, then they just want to point the finger and laugh at you. But if you do things that help them, then they're going to bless you and you can have favor with them. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Didn't say they had to go beat them over the head or have any special meetings or print any brochures. The Lord added daily. They continued in fellowship, in doctrine, in fellowship, breaking bread from house to house, and in prayers. And the Lord added daily to the church that those that should be saved. Now, if we are to be one of these last days churches experiencing the reality that the best is yet to come, let's say it together, the best is yet to come. Now, I really believe that. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The world desperately needs. And a lot of people in America, doesn't matter how many are sinning and going down the tube, a lot of people are praying. I know, because most of the invitations I get are, will you come to our church and teach us to pray? And they will simply say, we don't know how to pray, but we want to. And the Lord is stirring that desire in people. And I believe for us to position ourselves for these wonderful days, now that the door is open, let's believe the Lord to keep the door open for us, for healing, signs, and wonders, and miracles. What is our part? Well, they had fellowship together. They walked in the doctrine. They prayed, and they were of one accord. These are the things you do to keep the atmosphere. I don't believe that churches where, you know, people just come to church and that's all they do, those people are not going to experience this. It's going to be the people who their lifestyle looks like this one in the book of Acts. And unity is such an important thing. It is that invisible power. We learned this in 1980. Psalm 133 said that how blessed it is when men gather together in unity. That the Lord there, the Lord commands His blessing. You want to be in a place where the Lord will command His blessing? Then make sure at all times that we are in unity. In unity with the leadership. In unity with each other. Not allowing any disunity. You know how to keep the unity? Set yourself for agreement for the sake of the journey and for the purpose of the destiny. Just set yourself in agreement. Find a way you can come to agreement if you're not in agreement about something. You know, something I learned, I wish I'd learned it a long time ago, but somewhere in life I finally learned that some people are not going to change. It could even be a lot of people. And whether they change or not, I'm going to be in agreement. I'm going to be in unity. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to treat everybody the same, whether they're doing what I think they should or whether they're not. I'm just going to walk in unity, and I'm not going to go around trying to change people so that they'll look just like me and be just the way that I want them to be. How is it working out for you if you're always trying to change people? I just find I have such peace. And sometimes we just have to realize that's where they are right now. People aren't going to change until the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, starts working. It's not our place to change them. It's our place to love them. And to pray. See, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And if you think these people have sin, then just give them to the Holy Spirit. Trust Him, because when He convicts, He is the Spirit of truth, and you cannot argue with the Spirit of truth. Set yourself with a determination. I'm going to be in unity and fellowship with every person in this church. Because now that we've had the breakthrough, I want to see this continue. And I want to see our church be a place where we will always have this wonderful presence so that the Holy Spirit can heal and deliver and set free. I want to add one thing, and I'm finished. Yes, this won't cost you any extra right here. One of the most important things is that if we continue in unity and keep that atmosphere, one of those things is prayer, and with that, worship. Worship changes the atmosphere, and it changes you. I saw a couple of recent messages, really good, by Benny Hinn on prayer, and he was talking about how you feel different toward Jesus when you're praying regularly. You feel different toward other people. You feel different about worship when you're praying regularly. It tenderizes you. Come on. It breaks that hard case off of our hearts, that covering that gets there by the flesh. And from time to time, we seem to get to where we come to church later and later. Anybody notice that? Does anybody know what time church starts? Okay. I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to make a change. Whatever you need to change to get here at 10:30. How many of you will do that and say, Pastor, I'm going to tell you why. The first reason is it shows reverence to God. Because that is the part in the service where we worship God. Where it's a vertical experience. Now, occasionally, I never let the devil get this place. Oh, Pastor said we had to be on time. We're going to be late to stay home. Now, Lord will get you for that. I'm not saying that. Every now and then, you can't help being late. Occasionally, the baby throws up just about the time you think everything's, or whatever kind of thing like that. But I am saying, if we set ourselves, church starts at 10:30. If you really want to, we can start at 11. All you have to do is put a note in the offering plate and say, I really wish we would start at 11. It's okay. That's why we start at 10:30. Because one time I offered the people, if you don't like 10 o'clock, we'll do 10:30. Okay, here we are at 10:30. But see, I told the Lord, I'm going to reverence you and honor you by starting the service on time if there's not but half a dozen people here. Is it about Him? Worship is about Him, isn't it? And I realize that some of you drive from distances, and it's not as easy when you have to do that. But the way to get here on time is to start earlier. Start earlier. I do all kinds of things. If I want to be a place on time, let me tell you what I'll do. If I have to, I'll skip breakfast. I'll leave the things all laying out that I was last working with. You don't have to have everything perfect before you leave your house. Nobody's going to go in there and check you. There's not even police that come around when you're in church and checks your house. So just flee unceremoniously into the morning and come to church. Just get your guts up and be an on-time person. I really do believe this would please God. See, I don't know what all your reasons are for having problems with lateness, but I'm asking you, this will be a part of our worshiping in unity, in spirit and in truth. How many of you know that's right? How many of you know, Pastor, you're telling me what's right? Okay. Well, okay, if you're willing to die for Jesus, would you be willing to come to church on time? That little story I told this in Greenville, but I've probably told it to you before, but they laughed and laughed like it's the funniest thing, and I thought, religious jokes can be 10,000 years old, and people will always laugh about them, you know? But the man who wrote his girlfriend and said, "Darling, I cannot tell you. There are not words to tell you how much I love you. I would do anything for you. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd swim the deepest ocean. I would give my whole life for you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Love, John." Or love Murgatroyd. And P.S. I'll be over tonight if it doesn't rain. Do we love Jesus enough to show him that respect? Now, I have a theory that churches that are just 1 hour long, I think that's why people get there on time. Because if they don't get there on time, they don't get hardly anything. But our services usually run more like 2 hours. But I feel that all the 2 hours is valuable and wonderful, and we need to experience it together. How many of you can give God applause and say, "I agree with that"? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you that the best is yet to come. Now, we're praising you today because we believe that there's been a breakthrough. We believe that this is the hour that you want to begin to pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, we want to be recipients. We want to walk in agreement. We want to get on that highway of holiness. Lord, we want to be through with the distractions of the enemy. And we want to believe you, Lord, for all that we can have and not put it off to some other day. But Lord, what you said we could have in these last days, we declare these are the last days. Lord, you did it for generations throughout this past century. Now do it for us. Do it again, Lord. Do it in our midst. We ask you, we want to walk according to your word, Lord, to please you and to bring your glorious gospel to people. Lord, there's nobody like you in heaven or in all the earth. And we thank you and praise you today that the best is yet to come. Now, I want to let you know, I told you this last time I preached, that I had a couple of three engagements that I need to...